duties, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
How's it going, Ironside Chatters, on the day of the 2014 Bilderbergs meeting? I hope you're all just as anxious as I am to see how they've scripted the next 365 for us. It's so convenient, and I don't even remember asking them. But drinking a little drink and smoking a little smoke from sunny San Diego, I'm Greg Carlwood, and I really like today's show because it's not often that a guest goes further out there than I can entertain, and I love that. And it definitely happens in today's show, where our guest, Marcus Allen, gives us a lesson on controlled opposition and to what extent our reality might be manufactured. But it's episode 110, which means it's the fifth episode, and we have another Money Bomb winner. This time, we got only $440, so $220 for myself and $220 for random listener Paul in Washington. I'm not sure how people are feeling about the Money Bomb. People seem to be losing interest in participating, and it does take up a lot of airtime. But I love it. I want to keep doing it, but $220 is definitely the lowest so far, and it's tough to pay the bills. But a new round starts today, and hopefully we can get just 10% of the audience involved, and you'd never hear me complain. Let's take a minute to hear from Money Bomb Paul, and then we'll get down to business with Marcus Allen on the other side, talking about controlled opposition, predictive programming, limited hangout, and the scripted reality.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well, man. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent.
Hey, well, thanks for donating, and congrats on winning. Not bad. 220 is a little low for what we've been doing lately, but at least it's something.
Well, I do appreciate it. I'm having a really good day, and that was very much start of the day. So I really do appreciate it. It was awesome.
For sure, man. Well, you donated, so thank you. Have you been listening to the show long?
Yeah, I started listening. The first episode that really stood out was that I was listening to was 72 with Lennon Honor.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, really very, very interesting. And the 88, Duncan Trussell.
Yeah.
Love Duncan Trussell. So that was really good. Professor Griff. The Hollow Earth Theory, that one was, I love that one.
Oh, nice, nice.
Anything more on those cabin worlds, Hollow Earth, anything like that. Very interested in that stuff. And the 100th episode was classic.
I love that stuff too. And it's, you know, the weirder the better. And Hollow Earth is way up there on the weird scale. And I thought Dean was a great guest too. He did a great job of breaking down all the different parts of it. So, yeah, one of my favorites as well.
I like the history aspect when he was going into the old stories of the aviation and naval.
Yeah, I definitely want to do a follow-up with him.
Right on.
Yeah, but he's great. And are there any guests that you would suggest I have or any topics we haven't covered yet?
Well, one that did come to mind was David Wilcock on synchronicity, just in general. That's a pretty interesting. He wrote a book. It's pretty interesting on synchronicity. And how that can work, and the science. There's some interesting history and science on that. It's pretty fascinating.
Wilcock's not bad. He says a few things that sometimes I'm like, come on, man. But I've heard him be really, really solid. But he just doesn't respond to my emails. I don't know. He's very picky about where he goes. He doesn't like to take a possible risk.
Right.
That's what it seems like to me. I just feel like he has his three people he lets interview him, and that's it, because he kind of knows what's coming.
Oh yeah,
but
very exclusive.
Hopefully someday he'll come around. But yeah, man. So I also like to ask Money Bomb winners, since the money is made up of the people's donations. Have you thought about any plans for what you'll do with it? Did you get any time to think about that yet?
Yeah, actually, this synchronicity of it, just last night I found a flyer, and I was talking with my daughter. She's been interested in comic books a lot lately, and there's a little summer class workshop, 4-day workshop for art and science and comics and stuff like that. So she will be going to that.
Awesome. Fostering that creativity, an important part of parenting that a lot of people are just lacking in that department. So that is very noble. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, and I'll make sure and share some of that, share some of her work with you.
That's awesome. Yeah, do that. So good deal, man. Class act. Congratulations. Enjoy the extra cash. And a big thanks to everyone involved in the last round. And take care of yourself, Paul. All right, man?
Right on. Thank you for all your hard work and staying true to yourself, man. I appreciate it. And you, through you being interested in this stuff and doing all this, you're inspiring me.
Oh, awesome, man. Thank you. Too kind. All right, man. Take care of yourself.
Right on,
enjoy
dude.
The day.
Right on. Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
All right, people, it's no secret that the mainstream and alternative movements are full of disinformation, propagandists, and paid shills, but with the most conclusive evidence being beyond our grasp, knowing who to trust is getting increasingly tricky, and the problem becomes larger all the time with more convincing Photoshop and editing tools in an ever-expanding universe of smoke and mirrors. Well, today's guest is an independent investigator who's navigated the rough waters of reality and spends his time chipping away at the pre-approved narrative we all vigilantly try to avoid. His name is Marcus Allen, owner and operator of truthin7minutes.com, and I can't wait to get down to it. Marcus, my man, how are you?
Wow, that was a fantastic introduction. I appreciate that, Greg.
For sure, thanks.
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Right on. Yeah, man, thanks so much for coming on. I really enjoy the info I've gotten from you. I wanted to spend kind of the biggest chunk of our time together talking about disinformation, limited hangout, and controlled opposition, because most of the listeners here are already pretty keen on false flags and simulated events. But even if you're aware of these things, it can still be tough to wade through the massive amount of information we get these days and kind of discern who can be trusted and who's trying to derail your quest for truth. So I guess to get us started here, man, let me have you talk about those terms, controlled opposition and limited hangout. What do they mean? Who's using them, man?
Well, controlled opposition, in simple speak, is when a person comes on the scene. Typically, you've never heard of them before.
Right.
And they'll drop an amazing amount of gold nuggets that people like us who are looking for real truth about life are looking for, and we latch onto it. And then typically 6 to 12 months later, they go off into la-la land and then spin us into multiple rabbit holes. And it is amazing that I would say more than 99.999% of these people that come onto the scene are controlled opposition. There are very, very few people who are not. And I know that you asked me what my thoughts were about Alex Jones. Did you want to talk about that a little bit? Or
Sure. Yeah, we can go into that now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alex Jones, many people forget who have been looking at Alex Jones for the longest time, how many times Alex Jones has scared us into thinking something is either going to happen or has happened, and it has not happened. Mm-hmm. The big one that a lot of people don't know about is it was Alex Jones who scared us about the Y2K issue. Do you remember that?
Yes, I actually, if you go back on YouTube, people, you can watch videos. He's right. Alex Jones was all crazy about Y2K.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Alex Jones has told us that martial law, we're just days away from martial law. He's been talking about that at least a dozen years, if not longer. And it just goes on and on. In fact, a lot of people say, well, you know, he gives us a lot of truth. You know, maybe he's wrong about a few things, but if you listen to him, he, you know, his things about fluoride and vaccinations are, you know, dead on. Well, I don't know if that's really so true. If you go to his website, and I've done this many times on my little fireside chat that I have at my website, which you had mentioned, we've actually gone through step by step each and every article that Alex Jones has put out there. And there's, for the exception of maybe one out of the dozens and dozens of articles, maybe one is perhaps correct. The rest is nothing more than scaremongering. It's just an excuse to whip us up into a frenzy, get us really paranoid about how life really works. Mm-hmm. And it really angers me, quite frankly. It really bothers me that someone knowingly lies to us like that, to control us. That's what controlled opposition does.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been skeptical of Jones for a while, of course. when you're first getting into conspiracy, it's hard not to come across Alex Jones material online in your first year of searching. And that, of course, it happened to me. But over time, yeah, I wonder, it just seems like a lot of fear. Almost never is there a solution other than, well, electing Ron Paul.
Or seeds and bunkers, yeah, buy the seeds. Yeah.
But that I thought that was a giveaway. I mean, in terms of real solutions, I'm sure you don't think that electing Ron Paul would do much in this two-party system that we have. I feel like that being the solution coming from Alex Jones was a little ridiculous, kind of.
Well, Alex Jones talks about how the system is a fraud, it's rigged, but then on one hand, and then on literally a breath later, he's saying that you should vote for Ron Paul. I personally do not vote. I haven't voted since Ross Perot ran. Remember those days? I don't know how old you are.
That's a little old for me, but I do remember that. I'm 29.
Okay, so that was a little bit before your time, but I think I was 18 or 19 at the time. I'm 47 now. And I was all excited about Ross Perot. He was going to throw the bums out. And next thing you know, he quit because allegedly he was being threatened. Knowing what I know about life now, I know it's a complete joke. A lot of people should look into the company called Diebold, D-I-E-B-O-L-D. Mm-hmm. Now, Diebold is the exact same company when you go to take money out of the cash machine. That's the company that dispenses the cash. Diebold is also the company that is the manufacturer of electronic voting. And the reason I bring those two up is because I've never in my entire life gotten an extra $20 bill when I've gone to the ATM machine to get cash out.
Right.
Yet Diebold claims that their voting booths are only 70% accurate. That was according to a Fox News report, if you believe Fox News. Let's assume that that's correct. How is it that they've never once made a mistake giving me too much cash, yet they have an awful 70% record when it comes to voting?
Right.
That to me always told me that voting is rigged. And I know voting is rigged because you've got the left and you've got the right and then the independent who never wins. And that's part of the dialectic. Mm-hmm. And that just means that no matter who you vote for, you're voting for the same. It's the same bird. It doesn't matter which wing of the bird you're voting for. So that's part of controlled opposition too.
Right. And, you know, for people who don't know Limited Hangout, it's kind of a similar thing. An example of Limited Hangout that I like to use is something a lot of people will be familiar with probably. But let's say your significant other gets caught hanging out with an old flame. And you say, look, I know you were with your ex last night. Tell me what happened. And after hemming and hawing for a long time, she might tell you, okay, we kissed a little bit, but that's it. And she says that hoping that by giving you a little bit of truth, you'll stop asking and she won't have to tell you that she banged him six ways till Sunday. But is that a pretty accurate description? It's kind of like giving a little bit of truth and implying that that's the whole story.
Yeah, that's sort of like a straw man argument. Same. And by the way, Alex Jones is just infamous for straw man arguments, you know, giving you little things to look over here on his left hand, while the really big stuff is hidden in plain sight, usually too, in their right hand. Mm-hmm. Same sort of things. I really don't like these this jargon because this jargon is given to us to really get people not to look at the stuff. It's really confusing.
Yes.
Limited hangout, straw man argument, red herring distraction, a lot of different conspiracy dictionary terms. And it really confuses people. And that's what it's meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're dead on with that analogy. That's a good analogy.
Well, so then let me ask you about Edward Snowden, because this to me is an example of the same kind of thing, because the revelations about spying and the NSA, these were things that I assumed to be true. And to find out that my calls are being monitored and my emails are being stockpiled, like I already thought that was happening. So is this an example of that? Because a lot of people now are like, you know, screw the NSA. And it's like, there's a lot more out there to be concerned about. This is not like by giving us that, it almost implied that there's no other secrets out there.
Yeah, there's also talk that Edward Snowden literally isn't a person. CNN introduced hologram technology to us. I haven't watched CNN in a long time. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. And there's a lot of talk in the circles where I hang out with. We talk a lot about how a lot of things in life are fake.
Yes.
And Photoshopped. And there's a discussion right now that the Edward Snowden / Brian Williams interview was a green screen hologram situation. there is a very interesting couple seconds where his hand literally disappears from camera view. It literally goes transparent.
Wow.
So who knows if that's a glitch or yeah. So I think that whole thing is a complete distraction. Again, I agree with you. It's a limited hangout distraction. We've been talking about the NSA doing what now is admitted on the mainstream. We've been talking about that since I've been doing this. I've been doing this since about 2005, 2006. So this isn't anything new. Perhaps the good news about this is all the people who thought we were conspiracy theorists by suggesting this 3, 4, 5 years ago are now being validated. Not really sure that really matters. it's a big distraction for me. I really don't get caught up in that. It's, as we like to call it, conspiracy candy.
Right.
And when you eat too much conspiracy candy, you get sick.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, there's all kinds of distractions, even within this realm of truth seeking. And it's funny about the hologram, because I think it was Coachella or Bonnaroo, one of those big music festivals just a few years ago, they had that Tupac hologram, and it was like so perfect. So, I mean, obviously that shows the technology's there, and that's live. That's fooling people right in front of them. I mean, you know, talking about what you see on TV, that's another layer of deception that's way easier to pull off. So I'm open to that idea. People would say that type of glitch that you gave as an example can happen with a television stream, and I'm not an expert on that, but are there any other examples or any other reason you have to believe that he's not a real person?
Well, it would make sense that he wouldn't be a real person. If you want to control the mass, it's kind of like sports. I actually have on my website, truthin7minutes.com. That's the number 7, by the way. I have an entire expose on how almost every sporting event, literally almost every sporting event, right down to the local level in soccer, is rigged. Totally rigged.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I thought the big games were rigged, obviously, and there's some corruption that goes on, but you think it's down to every game almost?
Well, ESPN, if you do a search right now on Google for, let me see if I can find it real quick here, ESPN soccer rigged. Yes, the first thing that comes up is All the World is Staged, and this is from ESPN Magazine. I mean, this is as corporate mainstream as it goes.
Yeah.
And if you read this, if you come away thinking that soccer is real, you're just living in La La Land. They literally tell you right down to the local level that almost every single game is rigged.
Huh. That seems like a really big secret to keep. But of course, if you want to keep secrets, you pay people off. And athletes and actors are the best paid people. I mean, it makes sense. It's weird that no athlete who's gone broke in their retirement, because that happens a lot, none of them have ever just gone on record. Or do they know?
What, that they're involved in the rigging of events?
Right.
Well, that's a very interesting question. We know that Tim Donaghy, an NBA referee, was busted, allegedly. I say allegedly because I don't trust anything that the news tells us. They lie so many times.
Agreed.
Was busted for fixing games. He was literally tilting the games. And it's not about who wins and loses. It's about the point spread. That's really where the rigging comes in. They don't care who wins or loses. Well, they say they don't care. I disagree with that too. Isn't it interesting that most playoff games, in fact, I'm watching a little bit of NHL hockey, you know, it always goes to game 6 or 7. There's never a sweep when it comes to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was real. And I'm going all over the place here. What's really interesting is that it's really not about the money. It's about controlling us. Sports literally controls everything that we do in life. There was a study that found that the winning team, like in the Super Bowl, whoever wins the Super Bowl, whatever city wins the Super Bowl, the birth rate skyrockets. And it's the opposite on the losing team. It goes way down. I mean, that's how you can control something. And that's why I brought up sports. Sports is like a $300 billion in professional sports, $300 billion industry. And when you're talking that kind of money, you have a ton of control and you don't let anything go to chance. So to answer your question about Snowden, whether it's, you know, do I have any more proof that he's green screened, et cetera, there is another expose that I did on my website. It's called Do We Live in the Truman Show? By the way, the Truman Show is, if you only have one movie to get in your entire life, did you ever see the Truman Show?
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
You knowing what we now know, if you watch it without knowing and then you know and then you watch it again, it will completely blow your mind on how life probably works. And we truly live in the Truman Show. Well, in that expose I did, I showed all these different ways that they use green screen in Hollywood to produce movies. It would just absolutely blow your mind. So in summing it up to answer your question, I don't know if Edward Snowden is a real person or not. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he was literally a CGI fake from start to finish. I think the technology is there. The thing that technology was waiting on, it wasn't the software. It was the computing power. And now computing power is at the level where it can easily render on the fly what looks like real people talking with blinking and shadows. We're there now. And I say that because I've posted way too many examples of this. Mm-hmm. And I just know what's there. I just saw one yesterday where they were doing a spoof on someone who was ice skating, and they did one of those spins in the middle of the ice. It looked like a totally real person. And she spun so fast so many times that she dug a hole into the ice. Everyone was worried where she went. And then 5 seconds later, she popped out of the ice with a fish in her mouth as if she was, you know, diving for fish. Completely CGI.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, another movie I love for that type of insight is Wag the Dog.
And I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about it before on the show. It's like such a good example too of crisis actors and manufacturing false patriotism and all that stuff. And I am totally in line with you that the things we see in the mainstream are false. I actually have been saying recently that in terms of news stories, I feel like if you can walk into a grocery store and just bring up a certain subject to the cashier, then that's probably a false story because it's penetrated so deeply and they're so great at getting something to resonate across just any average person. And it's weird because I don't even watch mainstream news and I still get hit with all these stories. But it's hard to discern to which level they're orchestrated. And to think of Snowden as an actual hologram, I mean, that's a level that I hadn't even really considered. I just thought maybe he was some deep-level CIA operative.
No.
But crazy.
No, it's not really crazy if you think about it. I mean, again, if you can – it's like 9/11. I don't know your thoughts on 9/11. I'm in the camp that what we saw on TV didn't happen there.
Yes, I did want to bring this up to you because I know your thoughts on 9/11 and mine are pretty much right in line with yours, except for that last bit of, you don't think there were planes that day. I mean, I think it was a false flag attack. I would think that Israel probably helped them fly planes into buildings, but that aspect doesn't even come into play in your scenario. But I'll just let you talk about it because I'm interested as to this theory that there were no planes on that day and it was just taking down the three buildings.
Okay, well, first of all, the three buildings weren't taken down on 9/11.
Well, I was saying the two Twin Towers and then the Tower 7.
Right, but actually all eight buildings in the World Trade Center, which was owned by some call Zionist Larry Silverstein, every single building that was on that complex was completely destroyed. And that would be eight buildings.
Really?
Yes. Now, how does a plane take down eight buildings? And what's interesting is if you look at the Oklahoma City bombing, their regional newspaper posted a map in the newspaper, a color map, showing that dozens and dozens of buildings were completely destroyed in Oklahoma City, and most were not near the building.
I mean, it just that's so far off from what I hear in the majority of the movement. I mean, eight buildings fell that day.
Eight buildings came down and a Greek Orthodox church was finally bought out and moved because it was in the way of an underground, a very interesting underground garage We can talk about that some other time. Very interesting, actually. It comes to revenue, I should say. That Greek Orthodox church was bought out, and they're moving that church, actually building a new church that's away from the original location. In other words, it was in the way of their plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I have, again, at truthin7minutes.com, an entire expose, which coincidentally two nights ago I completely updated, that will show at least – I think it's at least 12 different reasons why there were no planes on 9/11. The big one for me, the smoking gun of all smoking guns, is that NBC, the Today Show, had a helicopter shot allegedly live. I don't believe 9/11 was filmed that day, by the way. I think it was filmed way before 9/11, way before, and shown on 9/11. And by the way, shown on the anniversary of 9/11 from start to finish. That's called psychic driving. That's trauma. Every single year on NBC, you saw the exact same. Yeah. So NBC had a helicopter shot allegedly of a plane hitting the building, the South Tower, Flight 175 that day. There was no plane in the video. They took the exact same footage. Some say it's different. It's not different. All they did was shift the angle using software slightly. It's like 1 degree off. And they showed the exact same shot with the background grayed out and with a plane inserted into the picture. Again, I have both a picture of this and I have the video to show side by side what we were shown that day. That to me is all you need to know about 9/11. Why is it that when it allegedly happened, quote unquote, live, there was no plane in the picture? You can see for yourself. There is no plane in the picture. Exact same thing run on the evening news. There's a plane in the picture.
I guess my question would be, how do you know that that's original footage? Like, I guess because it seems just as easy 10 years later to take out a plane from footage and re-release it out into the wild just to fuck with people.
Sure.
That's where it gets so murky for me that I can't even trust any video I'm looking at to be convinced 100%.
What if I told you you can go to the NBC archives right now and get that video?
Let's give the people a way to do that.
Go search for it. That's how I got the video, because I was the same way. I'm very skeptical of everything. Okay. I'm the world's biggest skeptic, but I'm also optimistic. I'm very excited about life because I know a lot of stuff that we're told is scary and there are terrorists running around and all these things that get us up in a bunch. I'm finding out it's just not true, and I'm finding that life is really awesome. It's not scary. It's not dangerous. We don't have people breaking into our houses and wanting to kill us. And when you find that out, you're like, wow, this life is pretty damn good. But getting back to your question, that's what I did is I'm like, okay, anyone could have doctored this footage. In fact, the footage was doctored. The original footage on NBC had absolutely nothing in the picture. Today, NBC put a little disc. It looks like a UFO that's flying through the air. But then when you look, when you compare that to the – again, go to my website and take a look at it.
Yeah, it's just – okay, well, let's go into why that is super important. Of course, it shows a level of falsity of reality that is immense. But, what difference does it make if it was thermite or planes or holograms or bombs? Isn't it more important the why and the who rather than exactly the details of how they did it?
That's a fantastic question. And the who, not as much the why, but the who is determined by the how. For example, if it's bombs, who would you blame? Let's say it was bombs that were planted in the building. Who would you blame for 9/11?
Right. I mean, I would say the people who ordered the bombs to be placed, because they don't do it themselves. They just have some worker drone, some loyal contractor do it, which is bad, of course, but I look more to the leadership.
And who's the leadership?
That's the question, man. I'm not quite sure. Obviously, I think Bush knew what was going on, but he's just a puppet.
Right. So the punchline, to keep this short, is it can be anyone. It can be anyone ordered to put bombs in there. And by the way, my guess, I wasn't there, I don't know, but my guess would be that there were bombs put in the building But that's not what was shown on TV. What we were shown on TV, I am highly confident, was created days, months, even years before 9/11 even happened. That's why, by the way, you see all sorts of different color backgrounds. Did you notice that?
No, I haven't noticed that.
If you look at any of the footage on 9/11, just type in 9/11 video, you'll see purple backgrounds, gray backgrounds. I never forget that day. I was literally in the middle of 9/11. I lived in Westchester, Pennsylvania at the time. I was on the floor with my newborn son watching CNBC, and that's when it came on. Westchester, Pennsylvania is 2 hours away from New York City, 2 hours away from Washington, and a little bit more than 2 hours away from Schwanksville. So I was literally in the middle of it. And I'll never forget remembering that day, because it was the most amazing, clear day ever. I mean, like, in the history of my life. And it was cool. It was a summer day, but it was incredibly cool. There was no humidity. It was very unusual. It was crystal clear. Pilots reported that the visibility was like many tens of miles in the distance. Yet when you watch on NBC, forget the smoke, you would think that it was the cloudiest day ever with green, purple, orange. It was crazy. Just go look at the video.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it's intriguing, but okay.
But I want to get, I want to back to answer. Sure. I want to answer your question.
Yes.
Now, if you knew for sure that there were no planes on 9/11, that they literally faked what happened on 9/11, now who would you blame for 9/11?
Yeah, I guess the news networks would be a little more guilty.
It would be the news. It would be the media. The media did 9/11. So now we know who did 9/11. By throwing out all these alternative what maybes, should, bombs, thermite, you know, remote control planes, you have no, you can't point who did it. You can't point to it.
So how did this play out in real time for someone living in New York? Because let me give you a quick little story. I just got off this Don Peyote bus tour to promote the movie. The movie's called Don Peyote, with the lead actor Dan Fogler. And he came on the show and we talked about 9/11 because he lives in New York. And he said that he saw it on TV and then he looked out his window and the Twin Towers were still there, had not been hit by the plane or a plane or anything yet. So he saw it on TV before it happened. So that is kind of backs up what you're saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He said that. Yeah. Wow, I'd like to be in touch with him and interview him about that. That would be actually a first. It's interesting. I know where you're going with this. The objection I hear about this is there were thousands and thousands of witnesses in New York City. Are they all wrong? Actually, that's not true. I think there were 64 witnesses that were featured on the news, in the radio, on the Howard Stern show, etc. 64. The vast majority, I think all but one of them, worked for the media. Now, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Now, also, if you listen, I'm probably one of the three people in the world who's watched the 9/11 footage more than 1,000 times. I was totally obsessed with it. If you listen to all the people, Katie Kirk, Howard Stern, Matt Lauer, all the talking heads that day, they all used the same words and phrases. Things like, it was surreal. It was like a movie. It was like Armageddon. And they used it at the exact same times. They were literally reading from a script. Mm-hmm.
I've seen that before. We see examples of that. The Daily Show is great at that. They do it in a comedic way, but when you look at what they're really doing, it's kind of scary.
I don't know if it's scary, but it's it certainly opens up the eyes of the critical thinker. If the critical thinker can get past the brainwashing of how life is just, we're just bumbling and stumbling through life and things just happen and, you know, get over it and things will be good, then things will be bad. If you can just put the critical thinking cap on and say, okay, I can smell this bullshit a mile away, it's really not scary. In fact, it's the opposite of scary. It's actually a relief. Wait, you're telling me that there are no crazy terrorists out there? You're saying in all these school shootings that they're really not happening, they're just FEMA drills, which they are. We have absolute proof. By the way, speaking of drills, did you know, in fact, I can, again, if you go to my my expose about 9/11, did you know that the government admitted that there was an exact exercise at the exact same time on the exact same day happening on 9/11?
Yes, I did know that.
And it was on in the USA Today. It wasn't in some kind of, you know, lowbrow newspaper. It was in the USA Today.
Yeah, that happens time and time again, actually. The Boston Marathon bombing, they had a drill going on the same time. But I am curious, this plane theory intrigues me. Even though 9/11's been talked to death on conspiracy programs like this, I am curious what you think it looked like to someone in New York. I mean, you say eight buildings fell that day. So did they just kind of blow up eight buildings or demolish eight buildings, you know, kind of in line with it? Because the way I rectified Dan's story is that they were just reading from the script a little bit too soon before the planes hit. But what would you say it looked like to someone in New York?
Out of all the years that I've been looking at 9/11, I haven't seen a single reel. I've seen a lot of fake photos and videos of what happened on 9/11, but I haven't seen a single real photo or video of 9/11. And now this is very odd to the people who look into 9/11. And then I was contacted by someone who told me something very interesting, and that is that they had pictures of what happened on 9/11. They got it developed at like the Rite Aid at the drugstore in New York. And the New York Police Department confiscated every single 9/11 picture from the photo departments of Rite Aid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't deny that they would want to cover up, they would want to gather all that evidence, or that every person we see on TV is a crisis actor of some type. But there's still several million people living in New York, and they were watching the news too. Like, if they saw the planes hit and looked out their window, did they still see two buildings? Apparently Dan says they did, but I figured that was only for like, you know, 10 minutes or something.
So Dan said that the buildings were up for like 10 minutes before something happened?
We didn't get into the timeline, but he did say that he saw it on TV, heard the story, looked out his window, and said that the building was still there and everything looked fine.
Yeah.
But have you talked to people who live in New York? I mean, what did they see? Did they just see a demolition?
I've only had one person I've spoken in all my years investigating this. It was by pure luck. I was here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I was at the park. It was a week before I was launching my Truth in 7 Minutes site, where I was going to expose how there were no planes in 9/11. And I heard this black couple fighting, literally arguing with each other, whether Michael Jordan was a sellout or not. And I'm like, whoa, this is interesting. I got to listen in on this. And they were like, yeah, he makes millions of dollars, but all the shoes that Nike sells are to inner city youth who can't afford the shoes. I'm like, I got to jump in on this. So I was jumping in on the conversation, talking to them for about 5 minutes. And I said, and I had my little notes. I write on 4x6 notes. I said, do you see these note cards? I said, it's interesting you're talking about Michael Jordan. I have another conspiracy for you. And I talked about 9/11, just like we're talking about right now. And they looked at each other and they go, do you know who we are? I'm like, no, who are you? They're like, well, our daughter worked and was a survivor in the World Trade Centers that day. She survived. I said, how did she survive? They said, she wasn't allowed in the buildings an hour before she got to work. The buildings were, and this is where the pre-planned exercise came in. There was an exercise where no one was allowed into the Twin Towers that day. That's the only person from New York that I've been able to confirm that something wasn't right.
Man, it is interesting. I don't know if I can be sold on that, but I'm open to it.
Tell me, what's holding you back? When I talk to people about this, most people run away from me.
I don't talk about it. For sure. I mean, I'm pretty open. I'm definitely skeptical. I think that everything is fake and tightly controlled, and we're in a debt-based system of rule. But the problem for me would be that there are just millions of people out there. Like, if I could have seen it from my window, I would have, you know, but there's just got to be too many people out there that saw the buildings fall. I guess I'm not necessarily concerned that they saw a plane hit, because I believe that, you know, you could just not be looking up when that occurs. But what, you know, and that was another thing. There wasn't a lot of wreckage found. There wasn't a lot of plane wreckage found at either the Pentagon or that area where the Flight 93 was supposedly went down. There's some skeptical stuff there, and they quickly got all the wreckage out of New York as soon as they could. They shipped it overseas, which is a big red flag in terms of evidence. You'd want to not touch the scene of an accident, you'd think, but if they sent everything away, obviously they're covering something up. But I guess the part that's hard for me to believe is, what did people in New York see that day? Eight buildings fell? Why haven't I ever heard eight buildings fell?
You know, we talk about straw man argument, limited hangouts. I'm going to read to you, if I might. Might take a couple minutes, but I think it's really important.
Okay.
What to me is the smoking gun evidence of 9/11, and that is what happened or did not happen in Pennsylvania. So can I take a couple minutes and read what I wrote?
Sure.
It says, if I only had 60 seconds to prove that the September 11th event was a hoax, I'd point out the following. The official coroner of the Pennsylvania crash site completely debunks the official story of 9/11. Wallace Miller's quotes are found in numerous mainstream newspapers just after September 11th, like, Miller was among the first to arrive after 10:06 on the magnificently sunny morning of September 11th. There's another confirmation that it was magnificent. It was a fantastic day. And then he continues, he was stunned at how small the smoking crater looked, he says, like someone took a scrap truck, dug a 10-foot ditch, and dumped all the trash into it. Once he was able to absorb the scene, Miller says, I stopped being coroner after about 20 minutes because there were no bodies there. It became like a giant funeral service. As a funeral director, Miller says, he is honored and humbled, blah, 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 blah. Okay, next. I got to the – this is another interview he did. I got to the actual crash site and could not believe what I saw. Usually you see much debris, wreckage, and much noise and commotion. This crash was different. There was no wreckage, no bodies, and no noise. It appeared as though there were no passengers or crew on this plane. And then he continues, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It was as if the plane had stopped and let the passengers off before it crashed. CNN. It was really a very unusual sight. You almost would have thought that the passengers had been dropped off somewhere. Even by the standard model of an airplane crash, there was very little, even by those standards. And he goes on and on for years talking about there were no blood, no bodies, no wreckage, nothing.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's interesting. It really is. And when you look at things like Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing, you got people saying the same thing, that it's a wag the dog, totally controlled situation that didn't really happen. But the problem there is that, you know, I live in San Diego near the Comedy Store in La Jolla, and I used to hang out there a lot. I don't as much anymore. But one of the waitresses there that I know of her, she didn't tell me this herself, but I know of her, and I heard from one of the comics that she had a relative who, like, lost a limb at the Boston bombing. So here I am in the conspiracy world, and I'm looking at this, and it doesn't look like a real event at all, but then I know someone who says they have a relative who was injured in it. So I wonder, like, are some bombs going off in one area of the Boston bombing where in another area, they have a stage set up and they got actors ready to go at the, you know, when they hear the cue? Is that kind of how you see these things playing out?
Well, now we're going to get deep, and now we're going to get into a bit of kook land to some people.
I'm ready.
Well, quite frankly, I don't care. And quite frankly, I don't care if anyone disagrees with my observation about what happened on 9/11. If you believe the official story all the way down to you believe there are planes, you think there was thermite, you think there's remote control, this, what, that's on you. That's fine. I'm cool with that. I know a lot of people get really passionate about whether it was planes or no planes, and they get mad at you if you don't agree with what they say. I'm totally cool. If you want to go through your life believing what you see on the news, that's on you. That's not on me.
That's fair. Right. But I would say that people who are in the camp of thinking that it was thermite or something are closer to you than they are believing the official story.
Oh, sure.
Because they at least believe there was corruption involved. You know, I'm 95% of the way there. It's just that those little details. And I also disagree necessarily with how important they are. If we know we were attacked by our own government, or at least, I guess, a staged, in your example, we weren't attacked at all. No one was really injured. It was just a psychological attack. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's still, to me, a lot closer to agreeing that we're being manipulated by the elite rather than some terrorists flew a plane into a building.
Oh, no doubt. And there's, you know, I always refer to this as an onion, the truth onion. There are many layers yes. to truth. So, you know, you can take it as far as you want and it never ends. Yeah. So with that said, I was going to get into kook land with you.
Yes, yes.
There is no doubt. I am 100% certain that there is a traveling troupe of actors who are positioned throughout the world who help manufacture our realities. There's no doubt that when I go, for example, to my favorite place to eat food, I see someone who coincidentally walks into the restaurant and it says, never forget about 9/11, and is really passionate about it. It just so happens to be at the same restaurant that I talk about on my weekly broadcasts. And you see that over and over and over again. There's no doubt in my mind that that's done on purpose to loosen me up, to put some doubt in my mind that maybe 9/11 really did happen the way we were told. There's no doubt about that. If you listen closely, like I do, I follow this stuff. It's my job. I mean, this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see people who have admitted to being at the Boston bombing, at the Sandy Hook hoax, 9/11, and the Utøya bombing in Oslo, Norway. They admit to being at all four of those.
Hmm.
Now, do you think that's just coincidence?
No, I have seen some pretty convincing photographs put together that from different events that look like the same person. But again, I just don't trust any photograph.
Right. You know? Right. Now, as far as people dying on 9/11, there's a thing called the Social Security Death Index. It's one of the most accurate. By the way, Social Security Administration is a private organization, much like the Federal Reserve is a private organization
yeah.
based mm-hmm. in Delaware. A lot of people think it's government. It's kind of quasi-government. The Social Security Administration administers the SSDI, Social Security Death Index. It is the most accurate database because as soon as you die, they don't have to pay your benefits anymore. So that thing is updated all the time. Now, up until about 5 years ago, you can easily tap into the Social Security Death Index, put in your relatives' names that have died, and it is accurate. It was 100% accurate for me. 100% accurate. It knew their Social Security number, where they died, where they were born, everything. You can look this up. Someone rolled all the names of the alleged victims, the 2,700 and whatever the number is, because the number is always different, into the SSDI. And until up until from 2001 until about 2000, I think it was 2009, there wasn't a single entry that someone died at 9/11. Since then, and it has been taken down, I understand one out of nine names are now in there, one out of nine. So at the minimum, that means that 80-something percent of the people that we're told died are still not in the Social Security Death Index. Now, there is a multitude of reasons why you might not be in the index. It could be based on your age. It could be based on whether you were actually collecting Social Security benefits. I'm assuming the people who worked at the trade centers were all collecting and contributing to the Social Security. Anyway, you're not going to be off by 80-something percent. But to me, forgetting that, the big smoking gun is where are the thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of outraged families? Why aren't they filing lawsuits? There's not a single one that has filed a lawsuit that I'm aware of.
Hmm.
Where are they?
Yeah. Another compelling argument I heard is that they had a memorial somewhere for the people who died in Flight 93. And if you were to go there that day, like nobody showed up, no families showed up to speak or pay tribute. It's just nothing.
Yeah, because I'm 100% certain that no one physically died in the attack. Now, maybe firefighters died from going to the scene. I would be certain of it. To me, it's a land clear and a reconstruction zone. That's what it was. They literally brought the towers down. They've built this multiple billion-dollar facility. The train station alone is $4 point something billion. That's what this is really about. It's always a multiple thing that these guys do. They love to scare us. They love to tell us how the boogeyman is just around the corner, hiding in caves with a towel on his head. And they love to reconstruct things. remember, again, Oklahoma City, over two dozen buildings completely leveled, and they weren't even near each other. And that Oklahoma City, you wouldn't recognize it.
Yeah.
Joplin, Missouri. Now we're going to get into Kookland about weather creation. Joplin, Missouri was completely leveled. It is a complete, yes. It's a completely new place.
That's near where I'm from. But I had already moved to California by that date. But I know people who had their house leveled.
There's no doubt that a tornado went through. I don't think it's as nearly as serious as we're told. But that place, Joplin, is literally a brand new place. You would not recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, that's what they do. They get multiple uses out of these traumatic events. And it really bothers me that they show as if it happened live every year on NBC. Why isn't anyone outraged about that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of researchers that I really like, Lennon Honor being one of them, who's come on the show a few times and talks about the trauma-based mind control program and reigniting that trauma on 9/11 every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely, you know, I'm on the side that believes that that's a big part of their motivation. And another thing that's interesting is a lot of the occult symbolism of dates and numbers and death tolls, you know, they always seem to line up with these secret society numbers that they really care about, these special numbers. And I sometimes wondered how these numbers sync up so well, but it is reasonable to think that if it's all manufactured, it's just part of the script. That number is just written into the script.
Right.
Like, When the Dark Knight shooting happened, just before then, Lil Wayne had released a music video where there's a scene of him in a theater with 11 skeletons. And it's very weird. Like, why would that be in a rap video? Like, dancing around a theater with 11 skeletons in it. And there's a part of his dance where he actually puts his hands over his ears and, like, kind of ducks as if you were, like, hearing gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very cryptic and weird. And I'm like, how did he know that Adam Lanza was going to peg 11 people?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's my own ignorance, but that was just written into the script, maybe.
Numerology is another example of limited hangout stuff. With that said, whether you want to blame the Jews, the Freemasons, the Jesuits, the Sovereign Order, Knights of Malta, whatever it is, they're all in it together. A lot of people like to just blame one group.
Yes.
It's not just one group. They all have their place in this manufacturing of our realities. But Freemasonry is, in my observation, more at the top than the rest of the groups. And they love to throw the numbers 11, 15, and 33 at us. 15 actually is the number to take a look at. In fact, it's kind of like being pregnant for the first time. I guarantee you, people listening to this right now will see the number 15 all over the place now that I've mentioned it. It is all over these fake stories, and that's their code. It's their little pinky code. Freemasons love their little secret codes. If you watch TV and you watch David Letterman, who's a Freemason, who interviewed Jerry Seinfeld, who's a Freemason, and he was on with Tom Brokaw, who's a Freemason, they all did the same thing. They pretend to unclasp their suit jacket. That's a little code. They put their hand into their suit jacket. That's another code. They tug at their tie. That's another code. That's to let everyone know that they're in on it. And all these fake stories have these signatures that you see over and over and over again, like you were just talking about. It's always the number 11 and the number 33, but it's really the number 15. That's big time. So, yeah, it's I laugh at this now. Anytime I hear of a traumatic event, I laugh. And I laugh because I know that it's probably fake. And it's good because I have two children. They just came home from school, in fact, eight, coming up on 8 and 13. And before I found out that all this stuff was fake, I mean, I was really worried about putting them on the school bus. Now I laugh. Yeah. I'm like, I know these school shootings. I just saw Columbine. I don't know if you saw this. There was a crisis actor dummy in the Columbine evacuation.
Really?
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't see that.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Oh, and speaking of what you were talking about with the tie-ins with the movie, and I just stumbled upon this last week, again, in the group of circles I hang out with, we talk about this. Did you ever follow Worldwide Wrestling?
Yeah, long ago. I'm guilty of it.
Mm-hmm, me too. There's a guy, you probably heard the name Aaron Russo, Freedom from Fascism.
Yeah, I've seen that documentary. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe it's either his son or brother is named Vince Russo. Vince Russo is the head writer of all of these fables, from politics to worldwide wrestling. He is the main head writer for Vince McMahon. And if you remember, there was a group of wrestlers, a two-wrestler team called the Twin Towers. Do you remember that?
No, I remember the New World Order, but I don't remember the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm. And there's an episode, it's floating around right now, and you should take a look at it, where Vince Russo wrote things like, the terrorists are going to attack the Twin Towers. Now, this was 7 years before 9/11. And it is riddled with predictive programming on what was going to happen on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that is, I mean, if you still think terrorists did this willy-nilly on 9/11, that we didn't know about it ahead of time, you're just living in la-la land. And again, that's on you. But when you have, if you listen and watch and read the script of this WWF match, you know that they did 9/11 well ahead of time. That it was, I mean, predictive programming all over the place. There, if you type in predictive programming 9/11 into YouTube, there are hour-long videos showing all the references to 9/11.
Yeah, tons of them. The Matrix, Rugrats, The Simpsons.
In fact, speaking of the Russo brothers or son father, Aaron Russo put out the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, I think it was.
Yep.
And that movie is riddled with 9/11 predictive programming references.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I didn't know of any from that movie.
They drop Eddie Murphy off at the Twin Towers. The clock always read 9/11. I love a lot of the movies like Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator. It said, you know those train bridges where, you know, you go under and it says clearance, you know, whatever the feat is. Mm-hmm. It said clearance 9/11. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
This is the 9/11 thing to whoever's running the show is a very big deal. I don't know why. A lot of people make conjecture as to why. I just know it is what it is. And when I see the number 15 in, like I said, in a news story, I just laugh. I know it's code.
So you brought up Aaron Russo, and something I have heard you say in a previous broadcast that you have is you kind of said it just matter-of-factly that you don't think Aaron Russo really died.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of goes for a lot of these celebrity deaths, maybe Paul Walker, most recently Philip Seymour Hoffman. You think these aren't real deaths?
I don't know. All I know is when someone – of course, they always get cremated. Osama bin Laden.
Right, right.
Aaron Russo. They're always cremated, which goes against the official industry statistics, I believe. If you look at the number of people who have died in the news and compare it to industry statistics – It doesn't even come close to matching up. And of course, if you cremate someone, you can't go back and exhume the body to find out what the scoop is.
Right. What would be the motivation there in some of those cases?
Why to fake a death?
Right.
Well, there's that Club 27. You know about that?
Is that the you have to have a sacrifice to then get into the $27 million club? Or no, is that the deaths at the age of 27?
The deaths at the age of 27, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So there, you know, I don't get into that whole thing that you know, that really doesn't. I always look at things that improve my life. You know, knowing that someone dies at age 27 doesn't improve my life. Knowing that Aaron Russo might be alive actually does improve my life because, again, it just adds more evidence to the pile that shows that we literally are living in the Truman Show. That it's literally wag the dog that things we're told isn't true. And that means I can live a much less stressed life, not have to worry about the boogeyman coming after me, and not fall for everything and make bad decisions at the same time. So I put that out there only because at the risk of sounding like a kook, that's, again, I don't care. I don't care what people think about me. I have a lot of people who listen to what I have to say. Obviously, you invited me to talk about this stuff. There's going to be a large percentage of people who, no matter how much proof I show them, that they're still going to think that the government cares about us and that there are no such things as conspiracies. I don't care.
Yeah.
But when it comes to these people who have died, I don't know if you heard me talking about this. The number of actors who have died who have twin brothers is off the charts ridiculous.
Yeah, I did hear you mention that. I didn't know there was that many.
Well, that's statistically, again, that's impossible. But when you have a twin brother, you can just say, oh, yeah, that was my brother who died. I'm his twin. You can literally walk amongst the people. And people say, wow, you look just like Aaron Russo. You look like Michael Jackson. You look like this. You like that. Oh, that was my brother. He's my twin. That's all you have to do is say that.
Yeah.
So I look at the numbers. I talk about things that no one else talks about. And I just use my critical thinking skills to try to figure out this puzzle called life. And again, I might be completely wrong. Who knows? Aaron Russo might be dead. And if that's true, I apologize to the Russo family. But again, we've been lied to so many times about this stuff that the news media has completely lost the benefit of the doubt. It's amazing. My grandfather, during my grandfather's time, they would never trust the media. It's kind of like the way I feel right now. The Hearst family was yellow journalism. Look up yellow journalism and you got the Hearst family. Mm-hmm. And the Hearst family is still in operation. Running all sorts of publications.
Yeah.
Look into yellow journalism. They admit that they're making shit up on the fly.
Oh, I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, we're 95% in agreement. It's just to the degree in which, you know, I'm a little skeptical. You know, I'm definitely open to it. I definitely think that 95% of this audience thinks 9/11 was a false flag, which to me is the most important piece, you know, that your leaders are the ones who perpetrated this on you. Like, I think that's obviously the most important piece. Mm-hmm. I've never heard it to that extent.
Let me give you an example. One of the most active conspiracy websites you've probably never heard of is called Godlike Productions.
That forum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And someone posted the fact that they were tired of being a paid shill, and they detailed how it works. Now, he or she literally posted that. I knew it was going to get deleted immediately, and it wasn't even up for 2 minutes. And I grabbed it, and basically what he said is that he's sent by mail an assignment to go to a coffee shop, and he has to wear a black hat with no lettering on it. So he gets his assignment in a package, and he's told exactly what his meme is, exactly what forum to go to, and what to attack people on. That's how this works. When you saw what happened in New York, you're like, okay, who can I tell about this? Oh, I'll write a letter to the editor to the New York Times. Well, they're in on it, so they're going to ignore your letter. Right. Oh, I know what I'll do next. No, they ignore me, so I'll go to my Twitter account. I'll post there. Well, you got two people who listen to you on Twitter. I know what I'll do. I'll go to Godlike Productions. Well, then it gets deleted in 2 seconds. There's literally no outlet for this stuff.
Yeah,
that's how they get away with it.
That's a fair point. But definitely didn't think we were going to be talking about 9/11 to the extent we did, but it's super interesting. But I wanted to get back a little bit to just these false prophets in the alternative media.
Sure.
Are there any kind of clues or patterns we can look for to determine who's on the level?
In fact, I think that's how you found me. I put out a video about who can you trust. Is that how you found me?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. So I would definitely take a look at that. I actually have an internal checklist on who I can trust. Actually, I can only think of about four people, maybe. I might be wrong about that too, that I can actually trust. And of course, they're not well known at all. In fact, I have two of those people who are on my calls each week. So it's a lot easier to figure out who you can trust rather than who you can't. Well, it's very interesting where controlled opposition both live, how they live, and the dynamics of their family. For example, most controlled opposition are single, have no spouse, and of course have no children. Mm-hmm. The exception to that is Alex Jones.
Yes.
And a couple others. But the vast majority of those don't. The vast majority of controlled opposition have military background. Now, that's not unusual 30, 40, 50 years ago when everyone was forced because of the draft to go into the military. But we don't have the draft now. So we choose to go into the military. I have zero military background. I have no one in my family that's in a secret society.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I might be missing out on something. Here's another interesting tidbit. Most controlled opposition live in a handful of geographies throughout the world. For example, the 512 area code is Round Rock / Austin, Texas. 90%+ of Patriot / alternative talk radio comes from that neck of the woods. I find that very interesting.
That is interesting, definitely.
Mm-hmm. You also find controlled opposition work as independent teams. They will help each other out. They will cross-promote each other, and they will do so in a grid-like fashion. So, for example, if you were to ask all of the controlled opposition, what are your thoughts about 9/11? What would Alex Jones, for example, say about 9/11? That it was an inside job, right? If you were to ask Dr. Bill Deagle, what was it? He'll tell you something different. If you ask Stephen Jones what happened on it was nanothermite and thermite. If you asked the guy from Let's Roll, Phil Jahan, it was remote control pods, you know, under the plane. In other words, it's almost as if they are given an assignment, controlled opposition, and they each have a different opinion about what is obvious, at least it's obvious to me, what happened on 9/11. You know, what do you think about what happened with, you know, do you think AIDS is real? That's a big topic that's coming out a lot. A lot of people are talking about AIDS not being real. So with these controlled opposition types, you get a variety of different opinions when really all the evidence seems to point in one direction. So when I see that, I mean, I just laugh. I just know it's probably controlled opposition. We have this tremendous need to appeal to authority and to famous people. And I think if I had to leave this call with one piece of advice, if anyone wanted to take it, it is to stop listening to experts, professionals, and gurus. Your life will be infinitely better if you do that. And that's what this controlled opposition is. It's all about them being little mini gods of the movement that they decided to control.
I agree.
If you just eliminate your appeal to authority, life will be infinitely better for yourself.
And I agree with you, man. And another angle to the Alex Jones thing is just that he's established as in America as the conspiracy guy. So when mainstream media wants to seem fair or edgy, they invite him on, and he never appears rational or sane or intelligent. He just goes super aggro and starts yelling and looks like an idiot on national TV. So that's the impression the country gets of a conspiracy theorist, which hurts the entire movement.
And that's if you look in the conspiracy dictionary under poison the well, that's his job. His job is to poison the well. He comes out with seemingly good information, which, as I said earlier, I don't think is true, but most people latch onto it. And then he goes on acting all crazy. And now everyone who agrees with Alex Jones is, by association, through osmosis, is a crazy person.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, did you know Alex Jones pays, this is admitted, I believe, by Alex Jones, he pays Matt Drudge of the Drudge Report $100,000+ a month to have his fake stories on Drudge Report.
Huh. No, I've heard some whispers of something similar to that, but I didn't know it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that means they're working. I mean, he's literally working with mainstream media. Matt Drudge is mainstream media.
Right, and a lot of people, you know, say what you will, but I've heard a lot of people cite that Alex Jones married a Jewish woman, and the Jewish elite are pretty high ranking in media. And in the case of this conversation we're having today, that would mean media manipulation and reality manipulation. And Alex Jones is a member of the media. There's a kind of a link there that's a little bit semi-sketchy, but every single Jew obviously is not guilty of anything or being in the club. But I guess anecdotally, it stacks up.
Alex Jones admitted that his family founded the state of Texas.
Hmm.
Also, Alex Jones, I believe it's his father or maybe his grandfather, it's one of the two, was a dentist. And if you look on the tombstone, he was a Freemason.
Interesting. Yeah. He seems to be connected. I'm skeptical when I see someone rise to such a high level like that so quickly. I felt like it was fairly quickly. You know, you don't see any competition for Alex Jones. No one's getting Alex Jones level numbers in the alternative movement. And that makes me skeptical. I feel like there's manipulation, even just to how many people are really even paying attention to him. I feel like maybe YouTube numbers add a couple extra zeros, or YouTube videos add a couple extra zeros. I don't know, but it seems pretty crazy that he's so popular, at least from his perspective, if you listen to the numbers that he says he's getting.
Agreed. 100. I have nothing more to add. Yeah. I mean, it's again, he's paying $100,000 to Matt Drudge to funnel that traffic to his website. That's it. That's admitted. Right. I wonder where else he's getting his traffic from. If you ask anyone who's gotten into truth with quotes wrapped around it, they always mention Alex Jones. Yeah, I went through here, loose change. I got there. And then Alex Jones. You'll also hear the date 2008. Many people have woken up at 2008. And it's interesting to note that YouTube really exploded on the scene in the same year, 2008.
Yeah, it's a messed up world, man. And we've been kind of all over the place in this interview. But before I let you go, I wanted to just kind of ask you generally, who do you think's steering this ship, man? I mean, I have guests who do think the control really lies with either Jewish banking families or the upper ranks of secret societies or the Queen of England or even something non-human. And you kind of mentioned earlier that these groups all have their roles. But do you think there's any specific head on this Hydra?
Yeah, I'm convinced that it's Phoenician families that you've never heard of. There is a Wikipedia page that was brought to my attention 6 months ago. As soon as this person, this Jan Erik person, revealed this, the Wikipedia page was completely defaced. All of the connections were completely changed. I think that's how, if I were to run the world, I would do the exact same thing. I would have many, many different buffer layers. I'd have stage managers who are handling every department of culture creation, manufacturing realities, et cetera. Much like a chessboard, you have the pawns all the way up to the kings and queens. Speaking of the Queen of England, I am certain the Queen of England is nothing more than, like the President of the United States, a figurehead who's just put out there for whatever reason it might be. As I said before, they all work together. They're decompartmentalized so that they have their roles. If you notice, the Jews are into perception management. They're into culture creation, anything that has to do with that, from fashion to Hollywood to movies.
Money.
And the money system.
That's an illusion.
That's right. The Jesuits are very big in this. If you look at actually stats were run. I had someone who I used to hang out with ran the stats on what percentage of the National Hockey League was run by the Jesuits. It was over 70%. Then you've got the SMOM, Sovereign Military Order of Malta, which is heavy into this. They're really behind the scenes. They're much, much higher level. I believe at the top of the public face of who's running the show are the Freemasons. It's interesting, the Freemasons, they brag that there are 6 million, they have 6 million leadership positions around the world. It's also interesting to note, oh, yeah. In fact, there's a book that we stumbled upon last week. Let me see if I can find it. Hershey Bears, Freemasons. So this book on Amazon, it's called Forged on Ice, Freemasons Within the Hershey Bears. And this book doesn't, you know, it's not revealing, oh, look at all the Freemasons on the Hershey Bears. It's like they were bragging about how everyone on the Hershey Bears, well, a lot of people on the Hershey Bears, are Freemasons. And then it listed all the people who have gone into the National Hockey League, all the people who have gone into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And that really sealed the deal for me that, you know, just about anyone who's anyone in life is part of a secret society. You have sororities and fraternities going into then you've got if you look at any tiny billboard when you enter a city or a village or anything, you'll see who's running the town. Knights of Columbus, Kiwanis, Shriners are big time. If you're a Shriner, You've got it made. So that you've got the Freemasons are at the top. It's interesting to note also that all church steeples are obelisks.
Yes.
So that gets into, did they create all the churches? Same thing with Judaism. The you said you're in San Diego?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. The ADL or the one of the Jewish radical Jewish groups, ADL or one of the DLs, is actually a branch of Freemasonry. I was shocked when I found that out.
Yeah, that's weird.
So that it goes. That's where you got the public face, and then I'm certain it goes way higher than the public face. There are many different layers to prevent people like us finding out who's screwing us with all this scaremongering and fakery and bullshit and vaccines and fluoride. Fluoride, by the way, I just found out a week ago in The Lancet. I'm really going all over the place here. They admitted in The Lancet, which is the most respected journal in medicine, that it is a neurotoxin. It was a one-line statement that said fluoride is a neurotoxin. So for all of us who've been screaming about fluoride being so dangerous and everyone saying that we're conspiracy theorists, it's finally been admitted that's a neurotoxin, and that's in your water supply.
Yeah. So I guess just to wrap this up, I also wanted to ask you, we've talked a lot about accusing people of doing the fear-mongering and never coming up with any solutions. So let's wrap this up with a solution. I mean, I guess since most of it's false reality, the solution would be to ignore a great majority of it. But how else do we get out from under the thumb of the elite?
I always recommend, at least this is what I do for myself, to have one foot in their system and one foot out of their system. I think it's amazing that I can jump on an airplane when it's snowing here outside Philadelphia. 2.5 hours later, I'm sunny Miami, Florida. That's their system. That's their TSA system. That's their flight system. It's fantastic. I love the fact that I drive 50,000 miles and my brand new Toyota RAV4. It's fantastic. That's their system. I'm on their road system. I pay their tolls. It's great. At the same time, I do whatever I can to get my other foot outside their system. My wife is a first grade school teacher. Needless to say, me wanting to keep my children out of school did not work. I have compromised, and my children do indeed go to school. And every day when they come home, they get the real education. We talk about what they're talking about. We're like, that's not necessarily true. Let's look into it. Here's probably what's going on. So I think that you got to have both. You have, for me right now, the way the system is operating, unless things change, and hopefully it does, or maybe I don't want it to change. That's a whole nother show. Whether it's, think about that. What if enough people knew about what we know about, and there was a tipping point and it crashed the system? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
Right. Yeah, I've thought about that long and hard. I think that it's going to have to be bad for a while to get over it. I don't think that people are going to go from a comfortable position in the system to overturning it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's to answer your question in a roundabout way, just say no. When they tell you to do something, do the opposite. That's usually the best advice. One foot in the system and one foot out of the system.
Very cool. Well, it has been a blast talking to you, man. I've been wanting to talk about some of this stuff for such a long time. Alex Jones in particular. I'm so glad you agreed. Would you like to tell the people about your website and how to keep up with your work before I really let you go?
Sure. Truthin7minutes.com. That's the number 7. Truthin7minutes.com. There's a free version. There's a paid version. The free version, you can listen to us each and every week, have the exact same conversation that we just had right now. I have I invite the smartest people I know to talk. What we do is we literally just take each subject. We go all over the place. It's crazy. And at the end, we do exactly what you just did. We round it up and we come up with solutions. It's really a blast.
Very cool.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being here. Always appreciate a unique perspective. So thanks again. Take care of yourself out there.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
Okay, people, there you have it. I hope you liked that. At least you could hear the guests this week, so sorry about that. But I love this one. I wanted to ask Marcus also about the Santa Barbara shooting, but I'm sure he would say that it was a simulation, much like the others in the past. I don't know. But there was also a lot of links flying my way about a journalist who was kicked out of the Bilderberg meetings today because he was caught talking to InfoWars specifically. And I found that funny as I was editing this very podcast and thinking about it. I can see someone getting kicked out for seeming like a journalist, but how would you know exactly who they were talking to? It just seemed like a convenient way to validate InfoWars. An easy way to insinuate that InfoWars is the elite's worst enemy. And I'm not quite so sure that they are. And maybe it doesn't matter, but I thought it was worth taking a look at, and I hope you did too. Please consider jumping on the next round of the Money Bomb and shoot me an email if you find it annoying or anything. I'd really like to know. And I'm going to try to get creative on how I can make this work for everybody without having to go back to a fucking job. But I love you guys. I love doing the show. Thanks for listening. Facebook, Twitter, the subreddit. I just want to be close to you all the time. So join me. And I'll see you next week. You're going to love the June lineup. It's going to be a blast. But that's it for me. Your move, bad guys.
I'm walking on broken eggshells, trying to make some sense of this, trying to save face with false appearances. Taste of the fantasies that I create.